All righty, guys, I'm so excited. We got a lot to cover and time is flying. So let's go ahead and pray and then we will get started with the message. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We are so glad. We rejoice in it, Father God. Father, your word says in Matthew that we should love you, Father God. Love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And so that is our vow to you, Heavenly Father, that as your children, that we love you, Heavenly Father, because you loved us first, even beyond what we could ever imagine, Father. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have your way, that you would speak through me, that your words would go forward. Your word says that it will go forward and accomplish everything that you have set it out to accomplish, that it will not return void. And so I thank you, Lord God Jesus, that the victory is ours because of your life-transforming words. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty, so welcome. Welcome again to What on Earth Am I Here For? Last week, Major talked about you were planned for God's pleasure. This week, I get to talk about you were formed for God's family. And I tell you, I am super honored because, you know, I am all about family, okay, like many of you. And as I looked at these couples, I thought about love is such a beautiful thing. You know, you meet, you fall in love, you have children, your children grow up, they fall in love, they get married, they have children. And then before you know it, you've got a whole family tree growing, right? And so this morning, as I said, my heart is all about my family. And so I want to introduce you to them. So this is a slide of my Samia family, my immediate family. That's me and my husband, Jerry, in the black shirt there. And then Jerry is, you know, his parents divorced when he was like three, so they remarried and they had, you know, another set of children. So he's like the oldest, eldest of about 11 or 12 of them. And so you see my sister-in-law sitting in the same row with us, as well as my sister on the far end. And then standing in the back in the orange is my oldest girl, Selene. She and her husband live in Texas with their three boys. And then behind us is my baby Moses and his beautiful wife Jana to his right. They have three children. And then there's Lena in the green right behind me, and she is my princess warrior on fire for Christ. And then on the far end in the dark black shirt is John and his beautiful wife Tiana. And I am so blessed, guys. I tell you, I am so about family. I wake up every morning so thankful for the family that God's given me. I take nothing for granted. And especially when it comes to my grandbabies, right? How many of you have grandchildren? Oh my gosh, they're just such a blessing, right? Well, these are my grandchildren, this next slide. And so one day we were at the park and we're like, hey, let's take a picture. Everybody jump on the tree. And so they all jumped up on there. And as you see, we have one granddaughter smack there in the middle. She is our princess. And the rest are all boys. Yes, yeah. So I don't know if she'll ever date, but good luck. Yeah. And so they all jumped on the tree. And, you know, when I look at this picture, man, you know, I just thought about this tree, although it's going sidewards, for it to be able to carry the weight of all these children, that it's got to have deep roots and it's got to be strong. And it really reminded me about that's what I need to be as their grandmother, that I need to be deeply rooted in the things that are going to help to grow them strong so that the next generation like them can walk strong and have victory in the name of Jesus in this life, right? Yes, amen. And so, you know, one of the things that I love doing in the next slide is to help them win in this world, because how many of you agree that this world is tough for our children and our grandchildren, right? You know, sometimes I worry about what it's going to be like beyond me when I'm gone for them. And so I've really been intentional about Bible study with my grandbabies. And so, like I said, some of them live in Texas. And so we have Bible study on Zoom. And they are so much fun. We're using Right Now Media with the Bible Man, and they love it. And they're so hilarious because one time they couldn't hear me. And you know how they're so young, but they just know technology so well. And so so, you know, I was talking, they were like, Grandma, you're lagging. And I was trying to talk to, like, Grandma, it's still lagging. They were like, you know what, Grandma, turn off your video and then it'll be good. So I turned off my video and sure enough, it was great. I mean, geez, these kids are so funny. And then another time they're like, Grandma, we got to change our date because we're busy. I was like, oh, what? So we changed from Wednesday to Friday. And I was like, well, excuse me, all you busy little people. But you know what? We're going to do whatever it takes to keep Jesus at the center of their lives. And so I'm so grateful for that opportunity that I'm here, that I have my grandchildren, and I get the privilege of sowing into their lives. Because this next slide is what it's all about. That's what my purpose is. My purpose is to, not just my grandchildren, but my children as well, my family, is to help them know God, to follow God, and to discover their God-given purpose. And so it's not just about them being a part of the Samia family, but more importantly, it's about them being a part of God's family. You know, and so, you know, when Rick Warren said this, he said, your spiritual family is even more important than your physical family because it will last forever. You know, for some reason, that kind of offended me because I'm like, well, what are you talking about? There's nothing more important to me than my family, right? But you know what God said to me? He said, you know what? But they weren't created for you, Yvonne. They were created to form my family, God's family. And so I have to remind myself about that, that they belong to God before they even belong to me. You are the same. You were formed for God's family. Ephesians 1:5 says this. It says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's why he sent his only son to suffer and die on the cross so that he could pay for our sins, that we could have life everlasting. And so, you know what that tells me? It tells me this. It tells me that it's not automatic. That everyone needs to know that, that not all roads lead to heaven, right? It's only through Jesus Christ that we will have eternity with our God in heaven. John 1:12 says this, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name, Jesus Christ, right? You have eternity. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to me for my family. But it is only through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we become a child of God. So, what does that mean for our family? What does that mean for the world? It means that we have to let them know. We have to tell them the truth, right? How many of you are still praying and believing for your family members and friends to become a part of God's family? Yes, I see all those hands, right? And so they need to know the truth. You know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. So today is like a recognized day of love. This is the perfect day to share the love of Christ with others. And here's the great news, that when we surrender and accept Christ to be our Lord and Savior, man, there are so many privileges that we get to have as a child of God. Number one, we have his family name as a child of God. You know, I love when my husband Jerry, when the grandkids are at our house and when they're about to exit, like he'll stop and he'll say, hey, you, what's your name? And my grandson, Nainoa, look at him, you know, as if like his papa had amnesia or something. He was like, Papa, I'm Nainoa. Nainoa who? Nainoa Samia. Yeah, you better remember that, right? And that's what it is for us as children of God. You better know your name. You better know who you are. You better know whose you are, right? That you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of the King. Know who you are, know whose you are. And then you have intimate access to our Father. When I was 17, my father retired from the Air Force and we moved back to Samoa. And he went back on contract and he became the director of taxation there in Samoa. And so, you know, I would go to his office and usually I was looking for lunch money. But I would go to his office, and like the lobby would be so crowded with business people or people that, you know, need, like, have issues with their taxes, whatever. And then there would be like the receptionist girls, and then there would be like all the tax workers. And my dad's office like was like way back there, right? And so, you know, in the midst of that crowd, I would come into the office and they would see me and they would say, "Oi, that's Tupua's daughter, let her in." And in that crowd, I had this straight shot to my father, right? And that's what it is for all of us, guys. When you become a child of God, you have this straight shot to our Heavenly Father that He is waiting to hear from you. Yes, amen. And then there's a family inheritance, right? You agree, God owns everything. He owns everything. And we have His inheritance. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4 says this: "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." Oh my gosh, how exciting is this? You know, the things of this world are temporal, right? Everything's going to fade away. Our time on this earth is short. After this, and it's not like God doesn't want us to be happy here. He does. But even beyond, we get to look forward to being forever with God. And that's so exciting. You know, I think about my mom. My mom is 90. She's going to turn 90. And when her time comes to leave this earth, I'm going to miss her so much. But my heart rejoices, because I had the awesome opportunity, privilege of leading my parents to Christ. And so when she leaves this earth, I know exactly where she's going to be. I know that she's going to be in heaven forever. Her 90 years is like a blink of an eye on this earth, but she's going to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. And then she'll be, you know, with her boyfriend, my father, her husband, up there again. And so I'm very excited. And then we get to be completely changed to be like Christ, free from all pain, death, and suffering. And like I said, we will share in Christ's glory. That's the privileges. But like in any family, with the privileges comes responsibility. We have responsibility as part of the family of God. John 13, 34 to 35 says this: "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Our love for one another, the Greek term is koinonia. It means being committed, just as committed to each other as we are to Christ. I mean, that is the cross, right? That we are committed to Christ, that we love Christ, and then we love our brothers and sisters. That's the cross right here, our relationship with Christ and our relationship with the brothers and sisters of the family of God. You know, we talk about koinonia and the fellowship, and there are four levels of fellowship in this Bible study. The first one is called sharing together, because love is meant to be shared, right? You saw everybody up here, the couple sharing their love, committing again to one another. The best expression of your love is time, right? You know, for you married couples, like, if your husband didn't come home for 2 days, like, he would be in big time trouble, right? Yeah, when we say I love you, you know, I want to see you. I want to spend time with you, yeah? I love spending time with my grandbabies. So how you spend your time shows us what you value. It's the greatest gift that you can give someone, your time. See, church, there's nothing on earth more valuable to God than His family, the church. So where you spend your time shows God where your heart is, what you value. And to value God's family is to value Him. Second level of fellowship is belonging together. See, without the church, you're like an orphan, right? And, you know, what happens when you're alone? That's isolation. And in isolation, you become the devil's playground. You know, you become easy prey. You know, things are going on in your mind. If there's nobody to speak into you, if you're the only one speaking into yourself, then the devil can easily play with your mind. You need somebody who's going to walk this journey with you. You need somebody who's going to pray with you and for you. You need somebody who's going to hold you accountable. We all need that, because we cannot fulfill God's purposes for our life without belonging to this family of God. Acts 2:42 says this: they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. We have a responsibility to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what the old church did. They taught each other. They spent life together. They ate together. They prayed together. That's why we have our majors who are so dedicated in prayer and in their leadership for us, as well as, you know, this Saturday we're going to have a corporate prayer meeting again. And that's all because when we truly love each other, the world will see that the way we love each other, and they will want to become a part of God's family too, right? We all know people who are looking for love in all the wrong places, right? This, in the body of Christ, is where they need to find God's love. And so why is that so important? It's because eternal destiny of others are at stake. Where they're going to spend their eternity isn't at stake. And there are a lot of lonely, lost, and hurting people. God needs us as the body of Christ to be his hands, to be his heart, to be his feet, to go out there and reach others. Because I'll ask you this: if not us, then who? And if not today, then when? Today is the perfect time to talk to somebody about God's love. Ephesians 2:19 says this: you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. 1 Timothy 3:15, God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's what we need to share with others, is the truth of God's word. James 3:18, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. It's hard work. It says so right here. Treating each other with dignity and honor. Wouldn't you agree, church, that relationships can be messy? I mean, think about right in our own earthly families, right? I said it before, I'll say it again. Marriage, getting married is easy. Staying married takes hard work. You know, in the 38 years that I've been married to my husband, Jerry, sometimes, transparency, there were times when I thought that I could be capable of spousal homicide. And I would feel so guilty. It's like, God, why am I thinking like that? Oh, my goodness. Until Jeannie told me this. Ruth Bell Graham, wife of the great evangelist Billy Graham. Well, Ruth was once asked if she had ever contemplated divorcing her husband. Her reply, divorce, no. Murder, yes. So I felt much better about that. If Billy Graham's wife felt like that, I'm okay. All right. But, you know, families get messed up, right? It happened in the Bible. Like Ishmael and Isaac, they were products of very dysfunctional parents. Cain murdered his brother Abel. Jacob swindled his brother Esau. I keep wanting someone Esau, but Esau, right? Jacob swindles his brother Esau. And so, you know, it grieves my heart when I think about when my kids don't get along. It breaks my heart. And I'm sure that God feels the same way about us. Third level of fellowship is serving together. Ephesians 4:11 to 12 says this: now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Again, our pastors who love us so much, our leaders, each and every one of us are leaders. We have a part in the family of God, and we need to rise up and step into that part. And that's, you know, all this learning his word is to, so that we won't be immature, but that we would be mature in the word of God. that we would have a unity and that we would have faith and knowledge of God's word, because it's only God's word that we can take out there that will actually change things. And it's so that we won't be tossed and blown around by false teachings. We know we'll be grounded in God's word. And then we can speak truth to one another, right? Because sometimes we need to do that, and that's not easy. That's hard. When you love somebody, you're going to speak truth unto them. And when we're able to live and love like that together, it takes our relationships to a whole deeper level. You know something else I learned about all of this as we go along our walk in Christ, with Christ? I've learned that it's so not about me. That it's so not about me. It's about me surrendering myself so that God can use me as a vessel to reach others. No matter what I've been through, it's still not about me. That's the fourth level of fellowship, is suffering together. Galatians 6:2 says this: share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Rick Warren said this: when you serve together, you do your part, but when you suffer together, you share your heart. I think about all of those first responders who have been responding to this pandemic, right? People are sick. What an overwhelming need that is. But this group has grown so close because of the deep work that they do. If you've ever been a missions team, an outreach team, there's a bonding that happens because you go out and you serve together. Suffering draws us together in spite of our differences, right? Our soldiers who are out there fighting wars in the trenches, they don't look at what color you are, where you come from. They are together fighting for a good cause. And so your life journey may have including much suffering, but I want you to know this, church, is that there is purpose in your pain, that you are not going through any of that for nothing, but God can use it to reach others. There is purpose in your pain. And a lot of times, through your pain is how you're going to relate to others. We have this testimony that I want you to watch. And I want to upfront thank Cynthia and Jared so much. I am so blessed by your testimony. I was a mess crying last night watching it. But their journey embodies everything that we are talking about. What on earth are we here for? So watch this and enjoy. Amen. Amen. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, that's what it's all about. We're talking about, look at the prior life, right, of drugs and homelessness and even suicide. But God. But God. You can't tell me that we don't serve a God who can take anything. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. He can transform your life. But I got to tell you this. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it all began, the transformation. So this would not be a complete service if I didn't offer that out to anybody who has not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so whether you're in this room with us now or you're joining us by line, I want to tell you that on Valentine's Day, you are God's sweetheart. He wants you. He wants to love on you. He loves you already. And so I just want to ask for everyone to bow your head and just repeat after me. And if you're saying this for the very first time, we praise Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I repent of my sins. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me, and you rose him from the grave for my sins so that I can have everlasting life. And so, Lord, I accept and receive your gift of Jesus Christ into my heart. And I ask that you would live in me and through me. Transform my heart. Transform my desires. Father, thank you for loving me. I look forward to a new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If anyone said that, yes, thank God. Thank you. Yeah. If anybody said that for the very first time, I want to encourage you. to get in touch with us. We want to love on you. We want to walk alongside you. We want to encourage you. We want to hold you accountable. Whatever you're going through, there's a purpose that God wants to use in and through you. And so the praise and worship is going to play a song, a beautiful song. And as they do, I know many of us are still praying for our loved ones to come to Jesus, to come to the cross. As they play, pray. Pray and expect the victory. Expect to see a victory. Never give up. People prayed for me for 10 years, and this is the product of their prayers. Let's pray in Jesus' name.